afternoon, everyone, and welcome, everyone, to the Westprint Sports Review here on Planet FM. The show is proudly brought to you by Westprint. They're based at 9 Ferrari Street in New Lynn. Their number is 09827-8531. Or if you want to email them, westprint.co.nz. For all your printing needs, and have to say, what a cracking day it is. The first day of summer, 1st of November, and it's just fantastic out there in Auckland. But we're going to talk a bit of rugby, and as usual, and on every Monday, he's part of the show. He's part of the furniture, actually, I've got to be very careful what I say here, because I know he's got a very witty comeback. Boomer All Black, 1987 World Cup winner, AJ Wheaton. Good afternoon to you, Mr. Wheaton, sir.
Yeah, nice to hear from you, Peggy. I am a piece of the furniture. I'd like to say it's a modern piece, a bit of Art Deco. And you're more of the old, what we call old stuff.
Old and classy. That's all I'll say. Old and classy. Anyway, we better start talking before you start ripping me a new one. Anyway, All Blacks 54, Wales 16, Beauden Barrett's 100th test. Within 3 minutes, he was on the scoreboard. Fantastic displays by the All Blacks, probably against a very weakened Welsh side, and we've got to put that into perspective. But, Beauden Barrett was brilliant in his 100th test, as was Ardy Sabir and Will Jordan that try. AJ, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think big occasion for anyone to play 100 tests, and I look back and look at my 35, 6 tests, boy, pretty pales in significance, but congratulations to him. Certainly a class act, and he didn't disappoint, did he, Peggy? His classic intercept, but he did it twice for the match, broke the Welsh hearts, and maybe it was just a sign of things to come. Certainly one of the players of the match, and you mentioned Ardy Sabir. I thought he stepped up from a week before, so good to see him on the paddock. And I guess the loss of their skipper and Alan Wynne-Jones, that was possibly a turning point. They missed his leadership and missed his line-out skills. The All Blacks seemed to dominate from there and laid the platform for them in the second half.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, because Alan Wynne-Jones, he's very influential in that Welsh team. He's a true leader. He was the captain of the British and Irish Lions, so he's a huge... Huge, huge miss for them. They were missing a few. I think we have to put it into perspective. The Welsh side did miss a lot that were already playing for English clubs over the weekend and could not be released. But in general, I felt it was a good display by the All Blacks. I felt they were very clinical. They tended to just, you know, when under pressure, they tended to go to another gear.
Yeah, let's look back at 65 minutes. Yeah, they were within a scoring try or two of the All Blacks, but they had paid the price. A lot of defensive tackling got worn down, and it was usually that last 15, 20 minutes we see the All Black machine slip a gear and away they go into overdrive, and they certainly showed us that. I was impressed, the Welsh, with their commitment. Nice to see Gareth Anscombe back on the pitch after a long layoff with injury. And this boy Basham, don't know where he came from in the number 7. He was very lively for the Welsh. And I think they've left a star there in the making. But look, it was about the All Blacks. Two solid front row of Taylor, Alala and Moody. It's good to see them set the platform. I was very impressed with Moody. Hopefully the boy Retallick's okay, off with an injury. But certainly the loose forwards... And we mentioned Savia, and I thought Papali'i, again, just continuing his form. And you mentioned Will Jordan. His usual try per match and test match rugby, and it was a bloody beauty.
Certainly was. Well, we head on to the Black Ferns, and of course, this morning they were beaten by England 43-12. In fairness to the Black Ferns, they haven't had a lot of good preparation going into that. It's their first international since 2019, but England will really look a threat in that in the Women's World Cup, which will be here next year, AJ.
Oh, yeah, very solid. I think it just goes to show you the program they've got over there too, Biggie. A lot of the women are on a professional contracts to some degree, and they've had the opportunity to play some rugby against some tough opposition. So it was always going to be a tough ask. I thought they went in there obviously with the right attitude, but what, 9 new caps against an English team? Wow, that's a big ask, and they certainly paid the price, not through a lack of commitment, mate, but just that bit of experience, the old hands when they were needed, and England certainly dominated 5-odd tries to one, I think, or 7 tries to one.
Seven tries to one.
And for the woman, for our black friend, sadly, that was a spanking wake-up call, and hopefully they'll certainly learn from it and have a better performance next week.
Certainly will, eh, Joe? Well, we get on to the NPC, and I have to say, this NPC, this weekend of games, were probably the best games I think we've had in the whole competition. Starting off with Canterbury, at down 20 points to 7 against Tasman, and coming back for a 24-21 over Tasman, a very much an upset. And of course, Luke Romano really turning back the clock to see why he was picked in the All Blacks. Also, Southland 37, Northland 33. That was a fantastic game.
Yeah, look, I agree. I think the competition's been absolutely superb, showcasing of the local talent here, and we're very lucky to have a competition. Well, there's not a lot of live sport going on that's televised, mate. So I was glued to the telly. Yep, love the Canterbury Tasman. Luke Romano, big hats off to you, mate. I thought the boy Drummond also came on and added some urgency to the Canterbury team. But Southland, Northland, good to see them have a win. It's plenty of excitement here in that match, and they gave it everything on attack and defence. Yeah, there were some mistakes for sure from both teams. But they were just desperate to make the finals and put themselves right in the hunt. And Marty Banks, again, just pivotal for Southland in his leadership and playmaking.
Absolutely. And, of course, then the other two competition games, a really emotional-filled match was the Waikato 37, Bay of Plenty 33, remembering the late Sean Wainui tragedy, obviously, last week. And, of course, Hawke's Bay 40, Manawa 231. These games were just fantastic. I just really enjoyed both games.
Well, just a few points in it. I mean, yes, nice recognition for the passing of the boy Wainui. Very sad, but certainly marked the occasion with some open running rugby. As you said, a close match, throwing the kitchen sink as both these teams were. I thought the Mulu, really, they needed the win, didn't they, to secure a place in the semi-finals. I thought the Steamers actually put them under some pressure in the forwards, but just the Waikato composure in the end got them over their line. And then the Manawatu to Hawke's Bay, well, I thought Hawke's Bay were probably a bit on holiday. They've had a great season. Took them a while to get into gear, another entertaining match. I thought I think the Turbos were leading about 24 points to something, 10, one stage, yeah. Peggy. And but then they got a bit of a wake-up call, and that's why you saw their attacking flair, the best team in the competition by far, and hats off to the Solly Steps that got a hat-trick. And again, the base was set by the forwards. Evans Flanders outstanding again in the loose forwards. And good to see Nihi Milner scoring a couple, keeping the Turbos in a hunt.
Yeah, and I have to say, Mark Hodgson has done a fantastic job with Hawke's Bay. And I know I've had a few texts from my the Hawke's Bay supporter in Auckland called the Rat, and one day I'll have the displeasure of introducing you to him. Not as cultured as me, I'll say that. Of course, then we had the friendly yesterday. Pardon?
Is he a bit taller than you?
Just slightly taller, but 10 times cheeky, but he's actually a good guy. He's a very funny man. But, of course, the friendly, Otago 33, Wellington 28, as we've said previously, it's a good way to get players around and get combinations going.
Yeah, I thought the Southern men, they'll be delighted in securing the scalp of Wellington. I think they seem to be battling at the moment, their last two outings, just to weave it off the boil. And they really need to pull finger this week, Peggy. They've got a big match against Tasman, and that will have one of those teams secure a semi-final spot. So if they can't pick themselves up for that, They'll be sitting on the sidelines having a cup of tea. I thought Otago, the forwards, really took it to Wellington. They paved the way, and I thought this first five, a guy making his debut again, this is what the NPC does, the Bunnings NPC. Cam Miller, where did he come from? An outstanding debut from the young man. And he can be very happy putting on the jersey for the first time with that performance.
And, of course, next week becomes the penultimate round of the competition. So this is where the... And there's still teams in there with a hunt of getting a semi-final spot.
Yep.
I have to say, this competition really brings out the best. And I think in these times, we're in the Auckland area, living under a different way. Isn't it good to watch a bit of NPC? And it's really providing a great competition for all of us to have a look at, AJ.
Yep. Look, it gives us something to do on the weekend here. We're not like South Island and other parts of the country. You can get out in level two. We've got to try and do the right thing. I know it's challenging, but I'm glued to the telly, as my wife says. I'm like part of the furniture, as you said, and probably getting as wide as I can. But anyway, I'm loving it, and got to bring it on.
Absolutely. Well, AJ, it's always great having our usual chat and a bit of banter. And no doubt we'll be talking a bit of All Blacks Italy next week, as well as this NPC competition, which I'm really looking forward to the final rounds of this. So as per usual, AJ, great having you on, and have a great rest of the week, AJ.
Anytime, mate. Pleasure.
Cheers, mate. Okay, that was AJ Wheaton, so we're just going to flick on to a bit of music. Next up, we're going to have a chat to Noel Barkley, a bit of EPL, and a bit of our local stuff. So we'll just put on a bit of music. Until the ashes melt away, then we will live again. I will succeed and train my sights upon the deed and wait for summer's bloom to come, bringing warmth to the frozen hearts until the skies are filled. FM, and of course we speak a bit of football, and of course it's always my great pleasure to have my good friend the unofficial deputy mayor of Waiheke after the Mad Butcher, former All White, Noel Barkley. Noel, good afternoon to you, and how are you going on this first day of summer?
Yeah, good. I'm really good, Eamon. In fact, I actually bumped into the Mad Butcher yesterday at the supermarket, and he was giving me a bit of grief because I had my Man United mask on. He had his warrior mask. You'd be surprised to hear.
Yeah, well, he's a hell of a good fella, the old Butch. And of course, we might as well rip in before we get into the EPL. Football Ferns had their games against Canada. The first one was a bit of a drubbing, 5-1, but the second one gave the new coaching a bit of hope. It was a lot more solid performance, even though they went down 1-0 to Canada, who are the Olympic champions.
Yeah, look, I think you have to two games and see what the progression was between the first and the second game, and it was pretty massive. You know, she made a lot of changes. They were way sharper. They closed down. Their passing was better. Anna Leet and Olivia Chansley brought in a couple of young ones, and they really sort of looked really good. I think the other thing that really surprised me was that I wasn't sure about some of the, you know, the 100 cap players and whether they were, you know, going to be, you know, still around in 23. But Rhea Percival, CJ Bott, Ali Riley, I thought they were absolutely superb. And if you put Michaela Moore in that mix, and she was awesome, and with maybe Ursic, that whole defensive thing looks really good. Got Emily Longo to come in and join Percival in midfield. Absolutely doubted at the second game. In fact, they were a little bit lucky. They maybe could have got a draw. I guess the biggest problem I see for them moving forward is that they don't have a female Chris Wood with the pace and the power, and that's really the big problem that they're going to have, and not an easy one to fix.
Certainly is, and well, we might as well rip into the EPL. And of course, Chelsea are leading the table. They had a 3-0 win over Newcastle, but a couple of surprise results before we head into our personal good news. Crystal Palace 2, Manchester City 0, Liverpool 2, Brighton 2. Now they were really, they really caught me off guard a bit when I saw those results.
Yeah, likewise, it was obviously you're sort of hoping that other the top team are going to lose points. I have to say, on both occasions, they were well deserved. I mean, Brighton, who were 2-0 down at half time, actually could have been ahead. They sort of hit the woodwork a couple of times and really got their just desserts with the Liverpool team that were just a little bit off form. And also, Crystal Palace have been really unlucky. They've got something like 6 draws and they've given up last minute goals. To go and beat Man City there is really, really good work, and I think Patrick Vieira is turning out to be a really, really good quality coach, and those surprises have been good for us because it keeps us in the pack. But unfortunately, Chelsea run away with it, and I would say at this stage it sort of looks like a theirs to lose.
I think you could be right there. Still, I think it's between them and Liverpool at this stage. And of course, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has given himself another life with the 3-0 win over, which is only straight to the point. That Spurs side is terrible. Now, even though we had it's a good win for us, 3-0 over Spurs, but that Spurs side, they're not the same Spurs side we saw a few years ago.
Yeah, and I don't know what's happened there. I mean, they started the season so well, beating Man City, looking really good. Kept Harry Kane, they spent a bit of money, and really, you know, since those 3 wins, they've actually gone completely off the boil. I mean, United, obviously, that was one for the manager. There's no doubt about it. That was a little bit of payback from the week before, and I thought they would win, and they put themselves off the back. I think they put 3 at the back just to sort of try to cover for Harry Maguire's sort of weaknesses at the minute, but the 2 big guys up top, you know, 70 years between them. They were, what a bit of quality for those 2 goals. Yeah. But missed a couple of chances in the first half. That game could have been a lot more even. And but yeah, great to get a win after last week. And obviously, a couple of big games, Atalanta next week and Man City at Old Trafford next week. And if we win, of course, we're back leveling points for them. So it sometimes pays not to get too carried away with one loss.
Yeah, I suspect if there is a win for Manchester United, I think it eases the pressure off Solskjaer as well too. So some of the other results, Burnley 3, Brentford 1. Good to see Chris Wood back on the scoring chart. Southampton 1, Watford 0. West Ham are in the top 4. 4-1 win over Villa, and of course Leeds had a 2-1 win over Norwich. Show me your thoughts on some of those games, Noel.
Well, absolutely delighted that Burnley actually got the first win, and what a peach of a goal in the 4th minute from Woodsy. Great way to start. To beat Brentford, and Brentford have looked a handful for most teams this year, so I'd say that was a really good win. And they've dropped down to 12th now, so it's amazing. You have a couple of losses and you can sort of drop a lot of spots. I think we've got to start forgetting about what what people think about West Ham, whether they're a sort of a one-season wonder, because they are the business at the minute. They absolutely murdered Villa today. A little bit of a harsh sending off, that helped. but they're winning. You know what I mean? They're really a handful, and I think that they're going to be somewhere in the mix around that 4, 5, 6 position, and absolute stars. Southampton, what a great goal that Adams to win that game. That was just a peach of a goal, and that probably their first as well. So yeah, look, it's good to see teams off the bottom. Burnley, especially Norwich, they look like a sick story this year, and don't look like they're capable of winning any games, fortunately.
Yeah, to be quite frank with you, I think Norwich and, you know, Burnley, I could potentially see them getting out of that done relegation fight before, and I can see them getting out. Norwich, I can actually see their season's already done. I cannot see them getting out of that relegation spot. And Newcastle, despite all the money, you know, I think they've got huge problems there, and whether the money they're going to get from Saudi Arabia to get more high-profile players, I can see them potentially being relegated now.
Well, it's one thing having all the money, but if you can't spend it, it's no good to you. So they can't spend any money until January, and let's be honest, who are they going to get? They're looking at Aaron Ramsey who's at Juventus and on £400,000 a week. Is he the answer? I mean, he's pretty much injured most of the time. So, you know, looking at Toni Kroos from Real Madrid, why is Toni Kroos going to leave Madrid to go and play in Newcastle? So, you know, they're going to get players who aren't getting games on big money, and they're going to have to, I mean, they are going to have to ship some people in because they're not very good. If they get relegated, it makes that investment look pretty sick at this point. But yeah, absolutely, they've got a couple of home games now where you would expect to see a bit of a bounce, and they're not able to sign the coaches that they want, which sort of tells a bit of a story. So yeah, it's looking a bit dreary.
So certainly, one other result I forgot to put in, and I've just been given a bit of a text by an Arsenal supporter. Arsenal now they're heading into that top six. 2-0 win over Leicester City. That's a good win for Arsenal.
Yeah, and what a difference that their goalkeeper Ramsdale's made. He was absolutely outstanding on the weekend against Leicester. I mean, he saved 4 or 5 one-on-ones. You know, that result could have been the other way around. So he's been an amazing signer. And oh yeah, all of a sudden they look good again. So good to see. It's amazing how the pressure seems to flee. You know, first it was on Arteta, then it was on Ole, and now, of course, it's Nuno, who looks definitely dead man walking. But yeah, it's good to see Arsenal up with the big boys again. The one that's a bit of a surprise at the minute is Leicester really dropping off the pace.
Yeah, Leicester have dropped back a bit, we had them in our top six for the places for Champions League and for Europa League. So yeah, might be a bit of pressure on Brendan Rodgers, but he knows he's still a very, very good coach. Just getting back to what you were saying about Newcastle, I know this might sound a bit of tongue-in-cheek, and I hope half my Geordie mates don't actually get grumpy at me, but if I was Toni Kroos and I had a beautiful villa in Madrid and then go into an apartment in Newcastle, I think Madrid would win hands down. And that's not just being rude to the city of Newcastle. And, of course, that was Noel Barkley. And, of course, we might just get a break. We're having a few issues here.
Tell
Welcome everyone back to the Sports review here on Planet FM, and I have to say, we're just having one of these days, but these days do happen, so we apologise if we're not Barclay. But now we're going to talk about something different, and the biggest thing you can do is represent your country. It is also to represent your country at an Olympics, whether it be summer or winter. That is the ultimate for any athlete. So, with this, I would like to welcome to the show a New Zealand curler, a person that's going there to try and qualify for the Winter Olympics. Brett Sargon, welcome to the show, mate.
Thank you very much, Alan. Thanks for having me.
Yep, if you can speak up a bit louder, sorry, yeah. Welcome to the show, Brett, and of course, curling. Being one of the probably not as high profile as it is in New Zealand, tell us about how you got into curling and some of your journeys and some of the pitfalls about trying to qualify for the Olympics.
Absolutely. So it's been a long road for me to get to this point as where I am now. So I started curling in high school without knowing too much about it, but I thought it sounded a bit interesting and a little bit different. So from the age of about 15, I jumped in the sport, and here I am about 14 years later, having been taken to some pretty special places around the world, including Russia, Kazakhstan, China, to represent my country, which has been pretty special. So, yeah, we're absolutely stoked to have the opportunity to try and qualify ourselves for the Olympics. It is a tough path, given that it is a minority sport within New Zealand.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the hardest thing is, well, you probably get the funding which comes out of a high performance sports New Zealand. You know, like you, it's probably not, say, what they would get for, say, other winter sports like, say, snowboarding, freestyle skiing. Of course, the good thing is, people don't realise that the popularity of curling at the Winter Olympics is a hugely watched sport.
Absolutely. We've been told that it's the most watched sport at the Winter Olympics on a global scale. So there's definitely a potential market for tapping into it. But at the moment, we need to prove ourselves that we can get through the Olympics and then before any bucket of funding does open up. So we get a bit of support from our national governing body, the New Zealand Curling Association, which we're absolutely so appreciative of. But the majority of our trips are self-funded. And we know that, we've accepted that, we play for the love of the sport, and we use that as extra motivation when we get across to the other side of the world and playing against these athletes who are fully funded. So we see it as a challenge, and one that we're really looking forward to.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the biggest thing is that, you know, for funding, like it's probably a lot of raffles, a lot of working bees and stuff like that. And of course, fundraising is hard, especially in these times, Brett, and I can understand. And of course, you know, for me, who's a complete novice, the first time I actually saw curling would have been in the 90s when we used to have a series before you were born, or maybe when you were a young kid, called Heartland. And, you know, to me, I describe it as a bowls on ice. And would I be right in describing that as curling?
That would be a very accurate description. A lot of similarities between bowls and curling. With curling, there's an addition of the sweeping, which makes a variety of shots a little more possible. You can control the zones a little more to open up a few more shots and things like that. So we always explain it to people who aren't so familiar with it, that it's a mixture of bowls on ice, along with a bit of chess on ice, because the strategy involved is a huge part of the sport. And that is one thing that we've been able to focus on with restricted ice time currently in New Zealand, helping out to train on the ice per se as a team. There are also a lot of things that we can do to prepare ourselves to come up against these teams.
Yeah, and of course, the big thing is like, you know, for anyone outside, you know, like, I've actually watched it. I think the last time we were at the Olympics, and I think we were speaking previously when I was arranging for you to come on the show, was 2006 at the Winter Olympics in Torino. So to qualify again, it's quite a big hurdle. So, you know, who are going to be your main opposition in this Olympic qualifying tournament, Brett?
Yeah, so you're bang on the money, Amon. So New Zealand has only qualified once for the Winter Olympics in 2006 in Torino, so we're looking to do something pretty special here. In terms of our biggest rivals, we know there's not going to be any easy games over there at all. Every team who is qualified deserves to be there. Every game will be a very, very tough game, and we have to be at our best. There are a few really, really competitive countries here, but like I say, there will certainly be no gimme matches, and everyone will be vying for those last two spots to qualify. So we'll be coming up against teams such as the USA, Japan, Korea, and a few others who are very strong curling countries historically.
And of course, that probably, in fairness to this country, your program would be, you know, maybe a Pan Pacific Championships or just in the Nationals. They probably would have a more, would I be right in saying they probably would have a more structured program around curling compared to what the program you guys have here in New Zealand, would be a lot smaller to what they have there in say, the United States and Japan and Korea.
Absolutely. So they have a far larger depth of talent in those countries in terms of pure numbers who curl over there. So many of their national competitions will have a lot of teams in them, and they'll also host different on fields throughout the tournament to prepare themselves, not only against other countries, other teams from their same country, but they'll also invite other countries' top teams over to play against them. So they'll certainly be getting a lot more ice time than us, unfortunately, at this point in time. But again, we just use it as extra motivation, and there'll be no excuses when we get over there. We'll be doing everything we can to ready ourselves to come up against these teams.
And of course, you know, the biggest thing is that for you guys to achieve this, this would be a huge achievement to get New Zealand back on the world stage at Olympics and curling. Like, I know that you've represented New Zealand at the World Championships, and you know, from looking at previous results, which one you've represented, you've actually done quite well, really, and possibly a few things didn't go your way with that, with being so close to that top eight.
Absolutely, absolutely. We know if we play to our potential over there, we're certainly in with a snap. The Olympics is obviously the pinnacle of the sporting world, and so it'll be an absolute dream for us to qualify this time around. But if we're unsuccessful, there won't be the end of us. We'll be certainly giving it all we've got for a wee while yet. But the goal is to turn up and to qualify not only for ourselves, but for the country and for the other curlers who have actually dedicated themselves as well within New Zealand to a very tight community over here. So we're very lucky from that respect. And so we'll be carrying that into the tournament, not just for ourselves, but for the country and the New Zealand curling community.
And I have to say, you know, I think a lot of people listening to the show today and a lot of people who will listen to the podcast will be really behind you, Brett, because, you know, It is, you know, like representing a country at anything is a huge honour, but to be an Olympian, it would mean, you know, it would mean a lot, not only for you and York, but also for your family and a lot for people in curling New Zealand. And it would just mean that the ultimate for them, that they've got an Olympian on there. So that would just be fantastic if you are to qualify. And, of course, you'll be keeping in touch with me on how you're going in the tournament.
Absolutely. We'll certainly be providing some updates as we go. And yeah, we're very, very lucky with the support we have received from friends and family in the Curling Association here in New Zealand. We're very, very lucky, and we're going into that tournament in a good headspace despite the challenges we face. And like I say, we'll be turning up with the goal of qualifying New Zealand for the Beijing in the second season of the year.
That's good, Brett. And you know, I think all of us here, myself, including the people at the station, the listeners, I think we really wish you all the best, Brett. And, you know, maybe you might need me to give you a bit of a motivational speech. You know, I've always been good at that, but you can ask your father about that, who I used to play rugby with, Russell, your father. So, you know, Brett, I think it's a great honour that it's great what you're doing for your sport, and I think everyone is fully behind you. And I just want to wish you personally good luck. I hope that you can qualify and represent New Zealand at the Winter Olympics next year in Beijing. Brett, thank you so much, mate.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time, Eamon. And if anybody listening does want to give it a go, there is a Curling Club set up in Auckland. We will be doing some promotional activities in the new year around the Winter Olympics with some have-a-go nights and things like that. So thank you very much for the opportunity and for having me on the show.
And I tell you what, and good luck. That was Brett Sargon, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you something, isn't it good to bring different sports? You know, these guys aren't the rock stars like your All Blacks, your Black Caps, your Silver Ferns, whatever. They're the ones who probably have to sell your chocolate bars, have to do the old sausages so that they can actually represent their country. So good luck to Brett. I really hope he qualifies. Anyway, we're going to move on to the Silver Tongue, Silver Fox next, and we're going to talk a bit of motorsport. We're going to talk a bit of cricket, rugby, Melbourne Cup. So we'll just head on to a bit of music. So. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review here on Planet FM. And of course, we haven't heard from this gentleman's voice in a long time. My good friend, the Silver Tongue, Silver Fox, Mr. Sean Summerfield. Good afternoon to you, Sean. And how are you, mate, on this first day of summer?
I'm all good, is it? I don't know. I'm still locked inside. Like, I think there's sun out there, isn't there?
Oh, it's a cracking day. It's a cracking day here in, as we call it, Eden Park Valley in the area, or Sandringham, as we call it. So it actually is. It's a beautiful day, actually. It's good to get the sun out, and hopefully we do get a bit of freedom and sooner rather than later. But it's looking about a month away. But we were not there to talk about this. We're here to talk about a bit of V8, the Giz. The Giz is still leading the Supercar V8. What were some of your thoughts on this over the weekend, mate?
Look, it's interesting. Eastern Creek, what did he describe the surface as being like a cheese grater? He wasn't a fan of that. Obviously, racing at night, it was a bit easier on the tyres. But you got to take your head off to any sort of... I know we saw a card up on the weekend having a full stadium and like nothing was wrong, but what they've been able to do in Australia to try and bring us to the end of the supercar season, for those who don't follow it closely, pretty much five rounds over 6 weeks. So there's 4 weekends in a row of racing at Eastern Creek just out of Sydney. Well, they call it Sydney Motorsport Park. Eastern Creek, West Sydney, there you go. And then a week off, and then they have the finale at Bathurst, which we all know and love. So, just basically rinse and repeat for 4 weeks. We had the first weekend and night racing, which is great. Only the 13th time, I think, they've raced under light. It was quite entertaining. But it wasn't Shane Van Gisbergen who won on Saturday night. It was Anton De Pasquale, who's one of the drivers who's taken the place of Scott McLaughlin.
Yep.
and straight away he's trying to avoid the comparison. They had two wins on the weekend, but Shane van Gisbergen had another win. It's his 12th of the season. And, you know, the way he's going, he's going to be one of the biggest winners of all time, the way he's ticking along. But he has left the weekend with a 300-plus point lead. And actually saying that no driver's ever lost the title having led by 300 or more points in a season. So take that with what you like. But that said, though, he's saying he's not just there to get points. He wants to win races. But he didn't panic, which was interesting. He knew, you know, you're better to bank the points than bank nothing, because you can go for the win and end up with zero, or getting on the podium, you do quite well. So I think he's going to be pretty hard to catch now, based on what we saw on the weekend. And the others have got too much ground to make up. But, look, the racing was pretty cool and spirited. You could see a bunch of drivers who were just desperate to get back on the track and race, and that was quite awesome to see, Eamon. And can I just give an unashamed plug for my own little wee show on Sunday's?
Absolutely, Sean.
We've actually done a bit of a deal with our mate Sky Sport, and we're going to have free-to-air highlights of every V8 Supercar round on Sunday afternoons. So next Sunday,
we'll have
all the highlights this week of racing we just had, and we'll take that right up the bat there. So it's pretty cool to be able to have that. So for people able to watch the supercars, because obviously it's all the wall-to-wall coverage they do on Sky, which is fantastic. But it's great for us to have some free-to-air supercars and good to have them back on three.
And I think it's good that it's good to have that free-to-air, the big day always is, especially in the supercars calendar, Sean, is always Bathurst. That's always I always love that day, and it's probably going to be... It's basically glued to the TV, and that's all it is that day. But I love it. I love the V8 supercars.
Yeah, it's a bit of a day. We hope it's just a little bit too murky to have to go and mow the lawn. It can be a really special afternoon. But I was actually thinking, going back to that, I remember the first Bathurst I watched, in 83, I think it was, 82, 83, Peter Brock was going through. It's a real special moment. So, looking forward as we count down, it'd be great to see the other tracks being used, but the fact is they're doing what they can with COVID, and the fact that they're racing is pretty awesome.
We might as well move on from there, because I was really that was a great wrap, and it's great to have V8s back on TV3 on the CRC Motorsports Show. Of course, the All Blacks gave way. It was a bit of a toweling, but you know what caught my eye? I don't know whether it caught your eye. This fella Jarbo,
You were going to say Will Jordan for a sec, which reminded me. I should mention there's a kid, Will Brown, on the weekend in the Supercar.
Yeah.
He's had just 10 main game starts to his name, and he was on the podium, and I tell you what, he was looking close to taking a race. Keep an eye out for him. Will Brown.
Good one.
Very impressive. Anyway,
Will Brown.
Jarbo, I don't know, he doesn't go and cause any harm. He was the bloke who went on and managed to go on as a batter and a bowler for India. He's done a few things. He actually went on to field, I think, years ago in a NFL game in London. He's sort of an interesting pitch invader. What's interesting is that he just wandered out onto the thing during the anthems, and I saw that a couple of the All Blacks noticed something wasn't right. I don't know if it was Moanga. I can't tell. There's too many of the bad haircuts to identify them, but sort of knew something wasn't right. And he wore a mask. He was doing everything right, but I don't know, mate. He's not been offensive. The scary thing is, if he was going out to do something malicious, he was out on the field and he could have hurt someone. That side of it's not good, but
yeah.
Mate, I don't know where security were looking.
Well, if you're the head of security at the Principality Stadium, management might be having a few words to you. But I look at him like he's probably been a bit of a nuisance. But to me, a guy to do that and walk out there, the guy's has got a big set of kahunas to do that, Sean. And I actually found it quite funny. I didn't find anything wrong in what he does.
Oh, my kids thought it was amusing as hell. And I can see both sides, because I think didn't Jimenez make did a big series of invasions during his first game a few years ago and actually caught.
Yes, I did, yeah.
So, you know, you can see how it can go bad. Look, there was sort of scuttlebutt going around. I'm talking back in the 90s, that one of the grounds, I won't say where it was, but they may have been involved in encouraging some streakers during the game.
I know which ground you're talking about, but I won't mention the ground either. Oh, yeah, keep talking.
Black book sort of thing. And you know, look, if they did, good on them. But, yeah, it's the problem is it's the copycat thing, and that's why the TV coverage quickly try and not film it, because it's a copycat that caused the problem. But no, this guy, good on him, mate. I think he did it. No one will get to do it again.
One thing about it is, Sean, I think every gram will, as soon as they see him, they'll have facial recognition on him. But, you know, to me, I actually found that quite amusing. And, you know, like there'll be a lot of people of the older generation would say that's disgusting. I actually found it funny. I wouldn't encourage anyone to do it, and we're not encouraging, but to me it was quite funny. But, you know, like the All Blacks were pretty convincing. That Will Jordan try, Sean, what a try, mate.
Oh, mate, he sees something else. Just, you know, another product of Christchurch Boys High, isn't he? And he's, just something really, really special. I mean, his try-scoring rate is just insane. And it's funny, I actually found myself, my youngest daughter, she's saying, how good is he? I said, he scores a bit like Jeff Wilson try. She goes, what do you mean? And I realised I had to go back to the 90s and actually I just sit for half an hour and watch Jeff Wilson highlight, because I thought I can just show that he's not the first to do something like this, but he's the first to score this rapidly. But hey, what an enjoyable game to watch. And, you know, obviously Wales are depleted. I thought they actually played pretty damn well, and the All Blacks did that thing where they sort of wore them down and then let rip at the end. It all happened later on. I was confused, Eamon, with that tackle. I thought Blackett was the one that should. I thought it was a bit of justice. The comment was made in our lounge that it was justice that he had just stood on the bench to cover the front row. But I would have thought he was the one who made the dodgy tackle. Or am I being wrong?
I don't think you've been wrong. I looked at that tackle. Yeah, in fairness to Ethan Blackadder, I think he's had a good match. But, you know, coming down to when Ian Foster picks his top side, which we know will be against Ireland, whether that, you know, this was a big chance for Ethan Blackadder to secure that sixth jersey. Because, I didn't feel comfortable. Let's say that's the approach I'm taking.
He's awesome, though, mate. He is just...
Oh, yeah, brilliant.
Todd was justifiably deified, but my goodness, Ethan, something special. Hey, I'm going to make an observation. You can feel free to tell me I'm wrong, and because I don't know much about back play all the time, especially out on the wing. It was too fast for me in my day. But Ricky,
I was a winger, but I went at snail's rate, as you well know, Sean. But
well, the closest I got to being on the wing was standing on the sideline. But the thing with Ricky Ioane, he just seems to be not 100% there. I just felt that he was a passenger, but I don't feel the sort of, or see the sort of heart and commitment you see from every other player. And I don't know what it is, but there's zero wow factor, bugger all industry, and he may be ticking the boxes like they do in his data will show he did this and this and this, but I would hazard to guess if you looked at his effectiveness during the game, I think he's the guy who's... I don't think he's doing the job. And I'm happy to be wrong, and I'm happy to someone to knock me flat and say, no, you've got it wrong, he did this and this and this. But the All Blacks spent a lot of that game with only one winger.
Mm. I have to say, one of the things about Rico Ioane said that... 3 or 4 years ago, one of the things that always impressed me was his work rate and his willingness to go looking for the ball. You know, it's still there, and he had one very, very good one, but it's seems as though, you know, whether he's probably not 100%, whether it's mental, whether it's physical, but he, you know, he's not the same. He's not the same player he was when he first came onto the scene, and you can see it, just the work rate then and the enthusiasm. I don't, you know, I believe he's trying his hard at, but it's just. I agree with you. He just doesn't seem to be there at the moment. And he is a tremendous player. Once you see him go, wow, what a player he can be, Sean.
And I don't know if it's the thing that happens to some of the Auckland players that get sort of really hyped up early on. And compared to, say, a Will Jordan that just suddenly seems to appear, he's been sort of allowed to come through. But, you know, we saw this with Tuiava. I mean, basically, Graham Henry talked of him like the second coming, and he never arrived, really. And I sometimes wonder if too much hype has built up and it's pressure that these players feel or something, or our level of expectation is too high and they never stand a chance of living up to it.
I think the hype is too much, Sean, but I think, you know, as rugby fans, we do have a high expectation, and sometimes I think we can be a bit too tough on our sports people. But, yeah, I just think sometimes we hype a player. Like, you have a look at Caleb Clark, you know, good on him for chasing his dream of trying to make the Olympics to represent New Zealand Sevens. But really, in Super Rugby, it seems as though they have one season, then they have a second season syndrome where they just go off their game.
Yeah, but here's one for you. I think of Ethan Blackadder a few years ago when I was working in news. I went down to Nelson to do a story on Tasman and caught up with Mark Hammett, who'd come back, and obviously he's an old schoolmate of ours, but he was happy. I said, look, I really want to talk to Ethan Blackadder. It's such a cool story. And he goes, look, no. We're letting him find his way. We're trying to avoid the hype. So...
I have to agree with that.
They're part of the Crusaders, and I think there's some sense there. What do you reckon?
I agree. Totally agree. Anyway, we've only got a few minutes to go. Good win by the Black Caps this morning.
10 top competition wins in 13 tournaments, 1975, and the big times they've met at the big tournaments at various levels of the game, and really handed it to them across a whole bunch of competitions.
They've just been unbelievable. Admittedly, their group's a lot easier than the other group, and it's lucky we've got to beat Afghanistan, who could be a tricky proposition, and I really feel that... you know, like, we will make the semi-final, probably play in England. Just one other thing while I've got you on here, Melbourne Cup's on, and you know what, I totally forgot about it because there's been so much going on, but aren't we going to miss the office sweepstakes and the fun at around 4 o'clock to watch the Melbourne Cup?
There's no crowd, is there?
No crowd.
Yeah, because I covered the Melbourne Cup when Ethereal won, and it was an amazing occasion. But the one thing that almost knocked me off my feet was when the horses leave the gate, the roar of the crowd is up there with the Welsh singing their anthem and Bread of Heaven, mate. It was something else. So to not have that there is something sport's going to miss.
It certainly is. Well, we're going to wind it up here, Sean. Thanks a lot. We'll give you next week. We'll have the Wido back on, so we'll catch up in a week or so's time. Sean, you have a great rest of the week, my friend.
Look forward to the quality show next week, mate. Cheers.
Yeah, from who? Me or you? Okay, on that cheeky note, we've signed it off. Goodbye, everyone. Have a great week.